something similar that I would like to share. I was recently brought to my attention that there is a flyer circulating out with a picture of myself, my husband, and my son at the time, who was approximately 11 years old, posted all over town in public places. Again, I am available if you would like to have a conversation. If you have concerns about something that I have done, I am available to have a conversation face-to-face. I will not do it anonymously, but I certainly don't appreciate my child being used as ammunition for whatever is happening right now. I don't appreciate it. It felt extremely hurtful to me, and it made me honestly a little fearful for my son. So, and I'm not okay with that. So if anybody has something to say, please bring it to me. Please do not bring it to me anonymously. We can have an absolutely wonderful conversation, and we'll move forward from there. Thank you. Are there any other comments? Okay, we're gonna move to closed session.
Each teacher is given their role, which is usually like one or two pages long, that they need to know what they're supposed to do. And then the back chapters are like, in the case of an earthquake, then you pull that section out. In the case of a flood, you pull that section out. So it's all like based on scenario, and each teacher knows their role within each one of those scenarios.
This is probably a silly question, but do the substitutes know where the buckets are? So in case there's an emergency, they know where to go to get their material.
Substitute trainers is a good idea.
Yes. And that's the thing is, we've asked the teachers, like when you sub in most classrooms, there's a sub binder that the teachers have prepared in their room that kind of gives a generic overview of what's there. Now, in every classroom, is it always exactly where it's supposed to be on any given day? I can't guarantee that.
The kids will know.
But the kids know. And we've trained the kids, and the kids have the process. One of the things that was brought up that we're changing at the site is putting just that emergency, what are the five steps of a lockdown, on the door itself. And that way, if the kids had to refer to it, if a sub had to refer to it, it's right there on the lockdown. Now, can I do that for every single disaster because there's fallen aircraft, there's a train, there's no. But those, you know, would hopefully be less likely. And in that term, those flip charts are by the teacher's desk. They could go through the flip chart and they could refer to that.
Thank you.
I think Jody has a little bit of a different experience being out on base, so maybe she can go through her process.
I do. So we have Veal involved with all of our lockdown practices, and they come in and they check everything. They are my second set of eyes to come through. I have staff eyes only that I only share with security forces and my staff, so they know what the staff eyes only is because I don't want it out in that plan. Because we're a wide open campus. I don't have fences. I don't have interior, you know, straight shots for things. So I have to be able to get everyone on board to go where they need to go. We have a run, fight, hide plan. We do have access points for them to leave campus. Security forces knows where they would go if that were to happen. So we're in tight collaboration with them. And I think I have 9 or 10 officers this last time come. And I have, every year I have a set group that comes by the school, and they'll come by and do walkthroughs for us at any time, and they'll always let me know if they see something. And Wheaton PD does that with us.
I think one of the interesting things that Jody explained to me when she meets with security forces is they write the plan, and the security forces says, I like your plan, it's a great plan, but if something happens, we're taking over.
Yeah.
And that's really how it is, right? So, especially out there.
They look at all the staff names I have listed in there for jobs. They're like, no, they're going to be with children. We got this. But I don't know how busy they're going to be or what's going to happen. So we have them.
It's a contingency plan.
For us at the elementary school, given we're just TK through 3, we create safety videos for the beginning of the year to talk about lockdowns, fire drills, earthquake drills, in a friendly manner to the younger students. And so they do a practice. choose their words carefully when you are dismissing classes from a fire drill, and going over that with our staff to make sure that we're all on the same page.
And if you pull the fire drill on campus, the kids aren't automatically going to know. They wait for the all call to say, this is a drill, you go out and you do this, or this is an emergency, you go out and you do this, because you don't think about things like that. But they were saying that that's kind of the number one target. It's like, oh, ooh, this somebody comes on campus, they pull that alarm, but we got a walking duck, they sit on the roof, and just get them all out as they see the pile out. And it's horrific. I mean, like, our minds don't go there, and that's why those trainings are so important, is because you don't think as dark as those.
That can happen here, yeah.
Yeah, it's awful. And then after school, even though we're not on this approval plan, I'll talk a little bit, but just so that you understand what our safety procedures are, because at some points after school is maybe, besides custodians, the only ones on campus at that time, and stuff can still happen and do. So we each have copies, each site has copies of the school plans, and all the site leads go through and do all of the catapults and all of the drills of the school day at their sites. Now the kids understand what to do and how they've been trained at that site. And then in after school, we show them what we're going to do and where we would likely go. It works out great, and all after school staff have a walkie-talkie, so we're all in direct communication right away via processes with backpacks and who is entered and in, and we have all those protocols. But, and like Jody said, at Lone Tree, oh, there was an after-school fire pretty much right at dismissal,
yeah.
And it was coming right up on after school. It's usually where we would evacuate to, but we're not going to evacuate towards the fire, right? So we expeditiously made it. Everybody was fine. Base security forces came in. They did take over. They were great, though. They talked to me really quick. They understood, okay, you're in command. You have the walkie-talkie because I happened to be at that site that day. And I said, look, we can't move our after-school kids necessarily over to the multi because parents won't know where to look. They're going to come racing in here, and they're used to parents being here. And they're like, oh, that's really good to know. So they worked with us, and it went smooth. We even had academic intervention classes and everything.
And one of the things we learned from that particular day, and I thought over it with staff, is that if we have something happen and parents start charging your room to get their children, even if it's dismissal time, lock that door, because the last thing we need is everybody scattering and hindering either fire trucks from coming in or people getting trampled. Those things happen.
Yeah.
So we've told families, and I made it clear to them, if it's a crisis and there is an issue, do not think that you're just going to walk in the classroom with your child. We'll let you know.
And quickly, he did a process of a checkout that worked very seamlessly. So,
I also want to, just because I saw Tim sitting back there, I want to say that not only do we have site safety plans, but we have bus evacuation plans as well, and they practice those at the beginning of the school year. Those of you who have children in the school know, because their kids probably come home and say, hey, we did an evacuation. So we are set up for doing the best we can under a situation that would be very difficult, but I think all of this shows that it's at least in everybody's mind that we have to be careful. So that's it for the safety plans. And,
are there any questions regarding the safety plans?
I hope we don't ever have to use them.
What's that?
I said I hope we don't ever have to use them.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I get a motion to approve, please?
I make a motion to approve 5.1A, the safety plan.
May I get a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, that passes. Now we're going to move on to approval of the individual school. Is it SIP plans?
SIP plans. So yes, I'll have them talk a little bit about these too. It's not necessarily as long as we did about safety, because safety is a big issue for our schools. But go ahead.
And so basically, what this the process is just taking our categorical dollars the general fund dollars and kind of laying out kind of what the overview is for the year and how we plan to use them at the particular sites. It ties into the district LCAP plan, but it's all of our site goals for improvement.
all of these plans have been approved by your site council board?
Yes, the council has approved all of them.
Thank you. Anything to add, Jim?
Same.
Sherry's just like, I wish I had more money.
Are there any questions?
I mean, I can share good news. I mean, we were in the orange. It gives you a little rainbow colors. And we were in the orange for math and language arts in 2023. And in 2024, we moved up to green in one, and we moved up to blue in another. So
that's fantastic.
That is great news.
I lose the
one.
Yeah, Bradford works. I'm just going to say, look at the Mary River scores, because usually middle school kids don't really care too much about the test. It's really hard to get them to try on the test. It's a really brutal test. And every student this year, with the exception of 13, which are 13 kids, made great.
That's fantastic.
So when you think of that, the bribery with the trip, it really did.
And it just, fun. It also shows, I mean, bribery is one thing, but it really shows how our teachers are really making a difference for our kids and our community. And the more kids come to school, I say this all the time, the more they're going to improve. And so I think
we have no doubt they're improving. It's just nice to have them show,
show
us
it on the
screen, how they're improving.
Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic.
And Wheatland now is in a little bit of an odd situation, given we only have one grade level that our test results reflect, because third grade is the only grade that is tested. So every time you see test scores for Wheatland, you don't even get to see where that goes next year because it's going to go to another school. So,
but moving from, you know, red to yellow to orange
and
to green.
And that's been a bigger deal that she moved the bands like that, because where some of our bands, we have massive growth and we didn't necessarily change a band, the same with the band bands. Yeah.
Oh.
So it's a moving target. So the fact that they did jump bands is a big, big deal.
Well, and
that's a moving target, and those bands were.
Yeah, so
double grades.
My point was simply that it shows that they're learning from TK through third grade, because when you, it's a very odd situation because you're not looking at the same kids, right? So the kids that tested last year that were in orange are now at Bear River, and then the new kids come in and they're testing at green. You know, it could be the band of kids you have. But I tend to believe it's the amount of time that our staff puts into learning and keeping kids engaged in learning. So that's what the SIP plans are. If you have any questions.
Any questions? Fantastic. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
May I get a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Passes. 5.3, approval of the master plan for the English learner success.
So this is all Sherry. It's a DLAC, so it's district, but she runs it, and I think all principals go to the meetings, but I'll let Sherry talk about this one.
So this meeting, last year, it was my first experience with it, but in the spring when we met, we were holding a breakfast for our Spanish-speaking families, and then we were having a so the suggestion at that meeting was that we combine the two, so that's what we did this year. Our attendance was less, but that was a suggestion that we got last year. But prior to the meeting, myself, Anna Perez, and Melissa Wyatt sat down and went through page by page and making sure that the master plan was aligned to what we were doing. Anna's incredible, but she goes through LPAC testing and the alternate LPAC testing and how students are reclassified and went over that. And she, we do the meeting in English and Spanish and provided breakfast. And we talked about the entire plan and just how we are servicing our students who are English language learners and how the curriculum has a lot of built-in supports for those students. And how you can take an iReady diagnostic in Spanish. I mean, just all of the different avenues that we can help those students be successful. And she saw her first alternate LPAC reclassification this year of a student in special education was
Fantastic.
Awesome.
When you have people like Anna Paredes and some of our teachers that are Spanish speaking, it really helps connect with parents, because getting them to come to anything, like a meeting, it's very difficult. And I remember a few years ago, they would have meetings and there would be no parents there. But having the breakfast and doing it all together, it's bringing some, but we would like to get more involved. It's just hard to get them to come. They're scared of schools. They don't like them.
Right now,
so.
It's very hard right now.
Oh, yeah, especially
higher attention.
Any questions? May I get a motion?
So moved.
May I get a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That passes.
Everybody's scared.
Okay, 5.4, adopt resolution 25-26-03 for the petition for the 2025-2026 school year for the teachers listed to teach outside of their credentialed area. That was a mouthful.
So this one, we have four teachers listed. As I've explained in the past, the flex classes become problematic for credentials, and so we have to go through this process. We have one teacher who's a special ed teacher and has a special ed credential, but she's doing art and flex. And in California, if you do art, you have to have an art credential. Or you have to go through this process. Then we have two that are doing drama, same thing. They're language arts teachers and ELD teachers, but they're also doing the drama in flex, and they've been, well, Janine's been doing it for many years.
She's phenomenal. Those would be the number. She's got a huge drama background in this, in multiple productions a year. I mean, it's crazy to think someone thinks she's not qualified.
Yeah, they're more than qualified. This is just a legal thing.
Yes.
And then we have one teacher who's teaching in our SDC class who is working towards her credential. It's about impossible to find teachers to teach in SDC, so we're lucky to have her there, and hopefully she'll continue with her credential and get it done. But it is a very difficult. I know that the county, they're hiring people from the Philippines to come and teach because they can't find people. And they're
they
also spent.
They
have three open positions, which they have to get out of a third party, and they pay just three times as much as we would pay a teacher. So this is just to bring to you so that they can teach those flex classes and continue to teach the SDC class.
So I have a question. We have two different teachers teaching drama. We have that many kids wanting to take drama class.
Oh yes, it's grown so much, and you know what's really exciting? So I'm going to correct for a minute. Because the drama program is so successful right now, the last, I think, four productions put on by the Uva Sutter theater group that has been in there, are in three of those productions, our kids got lead roles. Like, not just a regular role, the lead role. And we've had multiple kids, at least 10 that I know of, that have had roles in the adult plays that are going in. So, I mean, like, we've had some phenomenal talent, like, shine through those programs and really take off. So it's super, super exciting that those kids have found that niche. And the neat thing is Janine was actually Brianna's mentor as a student teacher when she first came on, and so they've worked together for a long time. So they really coordinated those classes so that I actually have, like, a Drama 1 and a Drama 2. So those kids in Drama 2 are now being challenged and getting to do other things that Janine's kind of taking them under.
Yeah, that'd be good to know,
so
to share, for sure.
She's amazing. She was Matilda at the acting company.
Wow.
She's super talented.
Like, beyond talented.
awesome.
So yeah, it's super exciting to watch them flourish.
But it is very popular on our campus. It is the second most popular class behind PE games.
Yeah.
So the kids want it, and we didn't have enough sections to offer it. So when we had Mrs. Lee, we finally had enough.
And how many kids are in each flex class?
Roughly, like, in a traditional flex, there's it depends on you if you have intervention or
right. But in this class,
shot, in each one of those, there's over 20 students per class. Yeah, so there were more than 40 kids that were applying to the drama.
That's awesome.
And the crazy thing is, it's within their standard credential because
right.
they're teaching listening
yeah.
and speaking, which is a standard for language arts. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it doesn't
right.
qualify, but it
because it's California.
But it is. They're teaching language arts skills, which is what they're doing.
Right.
My internship awesome. Class that has theater is so popular, and I'm a student who wanted in, and they gave him a conditional to go in because of daily school activities. And he's rocking it because he wants that class so badly. So it is a big motivator,
yeah.
and I have boys and girls through the music that compete.
Well, I'm glad without music we have something else to offer.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I like it.
It's awesome. Very good.
I think Nikki, you were going to say something about Brianna or something? I didn't start it, but.
No, I was just saying that Catherine Grohl, I've seen her at the acting company and several things because we're season ticket holders, and there is a lot of kids that go through.
LJ,
that
Oscar,
goes through. And then my niece, Arian, who
yes,
is, she was in the last one at Marysville piece, and so yeah, no, and it's neat to see because it carries on to the high school because I just was Saturday at the acting company for the Pirates of Penzette, and there was high school kids there from Wheatland High School that have leading roles, and it's Wheatland is always very well represented at those plays, the different areas, so it's really nice to see. And watching Catherine and Matilda there, I didn't realize she was a Bear River kid when I went. And then I was looking in the program, like, oh, wow. And then Rich is like, yeah, I know her from the woodshop class. And I'm like, oh, okay. And, you know, it was very impressive. So it's nice to see.
That's awesome. Thank you guys for encouraging this. It's amazing. Any questions? May I get a motion?
Motion to adopt 5.4A.
May I get a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That passes. Now we're going to move on to 5.5, approve the continued funding application.
Okay, so every year we bring you the continuing funding application for preschool to continue having preschool. We have to put this through every year at this time. Nicole does amazing work on this application, and you know, I couldn't be in charge of preschool if it weren't for her. She truly does the lion's share of it. And the only thing is, she makes me come up with a calendar every year before. And so I will be bringing the calendar to you guys soon, but this is the calendar we put together for this. We know it will change a little bit once the full calendar is adopted. But this resolution is required for us to be able to continue to have our preschool funded. Nicole, do you have anything you want to add to that?
No, because we don't change the calendar, then I don't have to do anything else except for submit it.
You can submit it. The calendar won't change until probably December.
Are there any questions regarding 5.5? May I get a motion?
So moved.
May I get a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That passes. 5.6, approval of the instructional continuity plan, the ICP.
So this is a fairly new plan. It came out of COVID, and it basically is, if we have another COVID type thing, how are we going to react to it? So I'm gonna have Jody talk a little bit about this plan.
So this is a plan that you'll see it's similar for all three of our sites because it's district unified. And it is basically the lessons that we learned during COVID, what worked, what didn't, the feedback that we got from staff, the feedback that we received from parents. We can't put in every nuance of what the crisis would look like because who expected COVID? So if we were to close down because of weather or
questions? May I get a motion?
So moved.
May I get a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Moving on to 5.7, approval of the Expanded Learning Opportunities Program.
So this is our ELOP program, and it is our after-school program, and it is a very long plan, and Tara's going to spend some time talking a little bit about what it is while they go to the bathroom.
Yes, I will be very brief. This plan is largely made up of a lot of rules and regs and ed code. And so ELOP, the Extended Learning Opportunities Program, the ACEs, After School Education and Safety Program, and Attendance Recovery are woven into one big giant expanded learning program, which all have their own auditable components. So the first step was to take all those must-haves, the compliance pieces, and put those together in combo with the, I just looked, I'm almost here 24 years, 23 plus years of experience of running the after school program here. And
you're halfway done. And Tara talked a little bit in our admin meeting about changes that are coming, and we'll have her do a little thing on that at a future date, but we're going to have some unhappy parents that won't be able to get their kids into after school because of the changes, so I want her to be able to talk about that at one of our upcoming meetings.
Is that for next school year, or is that coming this school year?
Next year.
There's also some situations where kids are not going to be able to get turned away, but we're not going to be able to staff it. So I don't even know how that's all going to play out. And certainly don't have the rooms, and et cetera, et cetera. So,
well, we are getting creative.
We are getting creative, yes.
Are these state mandates that are coming down? That's why we're having to do these changes?
Yes. Yes,
okay. It's not our district making these changes, it's the state making the changes that we have to comply with.
It's all part of the funding mechanism.
Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, for example, we have parents that get on the waiting list, and all of a sudden some new student comes in and we have an opening, and we have to take that new student because they meet this criteria of free and reduced or homeless or foster care, and so they bump ahead of all 65 of those kids. And it's hard to explain that to a parent who's working and really needs a place to put their kids, but yet we can't find a place because of the situation. So it will be difficult at best, but hopefully they'll make some better changes than what they're proposing at the moment.
Are there any other questions? May I get a motion?
So moved.
May I get a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, any board comments?
Before we move on to board comments,
that's
okay. There's a couple things. Colonel Hanson called me, and Annette's not here because she's furloughed because there's no budget, and she's not allowed to work. They're told that if they turn on their computers, they will get in trouble. And so he just wanted everybody to know that they have a lot of furloughs happening on base. But if anything comes up in meeting the basis help, he is a phone call away, and he will see what he can do to make sure they have the essentials still going, but all of the civil servants type stuff, they're all locked down at this point. And so if you have anything that is needed on the base, reach out to Jody or reach out to me, and we'll reach out to Colonel Hanson, and he'll return.
I'd like to share something important about this that's really impacting our little kiddos. The 4-5 open rec over at the youth center is not open because they are not that's not essential care. So I have 4th and 5th graders that have nowhere to go in the afternoons now. They're going home, their parents are on the leave work, and you know, dragging that around.
I wish the government would hear some of these stories, and maybe they would, you know, do something other than politics to get this thing passed. But unfortunately, they don't move in that direction. But I think the base is doing the best they can, and we'll help as best we can with the needs. But he wanted to make sure that you were aware he's available.
The other thing
I wanted to bring up was I saw a post the other day or a couple days ago about Bishop's Pumpkin Farm and having the adult students from Wheatland High come and work side by side. And I just wanted to say, I just think it's amazing that we have a community business that is willing to take in these kids and help them see that they do make a difference. And I just wanted to thank Austin and Bishop. Pictures just tell a thousand words. I was teary-eyed as soon as I looked at them, and I think it's worth calling out that Bishop's is an amazing place for this community. And I'm not saying that because Austin's on the board. I'm saying it because to do those types of things for this community, there's not a lot of businesses that would do that. And the last thing, the picture of the corn maze from above for the Wheatland FFA. Just amazing, and I can't say enough about
it. Yeah, it's applicable learning for class.
So those are my two things, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
No, it's fine.
Thank you.
Are there any board comments?
Yeah, I have one. Well, thank you for all that. That was unexpected. This morning, as most of you know, the board has been getting letters passed around town. One was dropped in my driveway, and my 11-year-old daughter found it this morning. So this is mostly for the recording. But if anyone has questions or concerns with how I've conducted myself or the board is conducting, please reach out to me via email or Facebook message or whatever, and I'm glad to have those conversations face-to-face. I'm still learning what's going on here. So I have lots of questions, and Craig answers all of them. So that's just for those who have any questions about my intentions or what I'm doing, but it'd be nice to keep our children out of it because they don't know what's going on.